This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at all of the Championship action from the weekend. Plenty to talk about, from Friday night's game at the Den to yesterday's game at the Hawthorns. We can also look ahead to the midweek fixtures coming up tomorrow night and on Wednesday night. We'll be talking more in detail about Charlton. They're in horrendous form at the moment. Can they stop the rot at home in a couple of games this week? We'll also be talking a little bit about Bristol City later in the hour, who had an impressive victory at Craven Cottage. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Championship Fan Show here on Love Sport. So that number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, share your views. It's not just the Premier League that's going on. Obviously, the Championship is very much hotting up as well. We had a full fixture list over the weekend, and also, as we'll be touching on, a full fixture list to come in midweek. It's always that bit more interesting when we've got midweek fixtures. Obviously, managers having to chop and change, make changes to freshen things up, and how will the Championship clubs deal with it? We'll go through the results from the weekend and then look at how the Championship's table currently stands. On Friday night, it started at the Den, Millwall against Nottingham Forest, and it ended Millwall 2, Nottingham Forest 2. Then on to Saturday's action. It was the first game. It was a derby game between Huddersfield and Leeds. From what we heard last week, it was a more significant game for Huddersfield fans than it was for Leeds fans. And well, it was a comfortable victory for Leeds. Huddersfield 0, Leeds 2 is how it ended up. Then on to all of the 3 o'clock kickoffs on Saturday afternoon at Ewood Park. Blackburn, who are in good form. They've now won 4 straight games, which is unheard of in the Championship below the bottom two. They won 1-0 at home against Derby, who yet again just proving the inconsistency of the Championship. They win at home and they lose away from home. That's just the way they are going. Neil Harris's start at Cardiff is going pretty well. It's now 3 straight wins for Harris. They won 3-2 at home against bottom place Barnsley, who won their first game under Gerhard Struber before that, but a narrow defeat. Interesting, though, that Barnsley have been competitive, even in the games that they've lost in recent weeks under Gerhard Struber. They are still managing to get close in games, even if it isn't necessarily getting the result they wanted. At Craven Cottage, one of the best games, really, of the weekend between two sides that were in the playoff positions. And they are now level on points after it finished Fulham 1, Bristol City 2. So Bristol City go up into fourth place. Fulham had won 4 in a row, and they probably thought, wow, this is unheard of in the Championship this season. We can't be on a winning run like this. We need to lose a game. And that's exactly what they did. Some contention near the end of the game, as Fulham believe they should have had a penalty late on to equalise, but it wasn't given. Don Betts, Love Sport's very own, from the Fulhamish podcast, said even though they had a decision go against them, he'd rather that happen on Saturday than have VAR. Interesting view, that one. It was Hull 2, Stoke 1, and Hull are just creeping around mid-table, doing a decent job. I don't need to tell you who scored for Hull. Yep, you guessed it, Jarrod Byrne yet again for Hull. Stoke, after winning Mike O'Neill's first two games in charge, has now lost 3 on the bounce. Stoke are now 4 points away from safety. Luton 2, Wigan 1, and Luton had to come from 1-0 down, and that is a massive result. They've been terrible over the last 7 to 8 games. They obviously got battered 7-0 by Brentford a week before, but they did respond with a 2-1 victory. The pressure is still on Graham Jones, and there have been some links with a move for Nathan Jones to return to the club. Obviously left Luton for Stoke midway through last season. They were in a good position to get promoted, and obviously Luton did get promoted in the end. Nathan Jones was sacked at the beginning of November by Stoke. Might we see it? I don't think the fans would be particularly happy, but the nature of it and the way that football goes, if Nathan Jones were to go in there and he win his first few games, then I think fans would probably forget what has happened. At the Riverside Stadium, it was a massive game for Jonathan Woodgate. The hierarchy have continued to say that he maintains their confidence and they continue to have faith in him, in their club legend, that they believe he can turn things around. Well, Middlesbrough did get a win. It was only by 1-0. They're struggling for goals, Middlesbrough. But they did get an all-important win. On the other side of it, Charlton are in terrible form. They've really slipped down the table. It wasn't that long ago that we were wondering, could they push for a top six spot? I think that discussion is being quickly changed. And instead, Charlton are looking over their shoulders, not looking up the table. QPR were another side in terrible form, but they did secure their first win in a number of games. They beat Preston by 2-0. Preston, their form has been utterly terrible. 4 straight defeats now for Alex Neil's side. They were right up in the top two a few weeks ago. They're now out of the playoff positions. They're into 7th place. At the Medeski Stadium, Reading 2, Birmingham 3 in a high-scoring affair. Things have been going well for Mark Bowen, but not until the last 4 games. They've now lost 3 of their last 4. Birmingham just kind of plodding along, really, in 13th place. They had drawn their last 3 games, but a win on the weekend away from home will be good news for Pep Clotet. Sheffield Wednesday won 2-1 at home against Brentford. Obviously, they've got some of these lingering off-field issues to deal with at the moment. But they did win against a good Brentford side who are coming off the back of that 7-0 win against Luton. Not bad form to be going into the game. But I think that, again, it just sums up the Championship season, that Brentford have been on a really good run recently and they go away from home to a side in and around them. They were just 1 point separated. Brentford were 1 point above Sheffield Wednesday before the game. Wednesday win it, they go up into the top 6, and Brentford are left rueing another frustrating day for them. And on Sunday, a very convincing win for West Brom. They beat Swansea 5-1. Mateus Pereira, now we've spoken to a number of West Brom guests over the last couple of months, and they've always waxed lyrical about Mateus Pereira over the last couple of months. He scored one. He wasn't just content with doing that. He decided that he wanted to then assist the other 4 goals. Pretty good. And obviously he's on loan from Sporting. I don't think West Brom will just be in for him, signing him on a permanent basis. I think there'll be plenty of clubs, not just in England, but in Europe, looking at him and thinking he may be available at a decent price. It may be a case of West Brom sign him and then another club sign him from West Brom. Because I believe West Brom do have a clause in the contract. They do have a potential buying option for Pereira to make it a permanent move. But they dispatched the Swansea. West Brom in fine form. They've only lost 1 game in their first 20. They are just 2 points clear of Leeds at the top, but they are in flying form. They've looked like the best team, all season long. They've probably got the best manager in the Championship in the form of Slaven Bilic. For Swansea, we talked about Preston's form being terrible. Swansea have lost 3, drawn 2 of their last 5. They were right in the playoff picture and up probably in the top 2, but they are now down to 11th place and not in particularly good form. Looking at the table as it stands in the Championship, it's West Brom at the top of the table. They are on 45 points. Just lost, as I said, just the 1 game. Another win, an emphatic win for them at the weekend. For Leeds, they are just 2 points behind. They're on a very similar recent record to West Brom. They're on 43 points, so just a couple of points behind them after a 2-0 win at Huddersfield on the weekend. So the top 2 are just beginning to move away, although there is this rather significant caveat that one of those 2 teams is Leeds, and we all know what happens to Leeds in the second half of seasons, although I'm sure the Leeds faithful will be hoping that history does not repeat itself. Fulham are in 3rd despite losing to Bristol City, who go up on the same number of points. Fulham in 3rd, Bristol City in 4th, both on 35 points. Nottingham Forest are in 5th on 33. Sheffield Wednesday in 6th on 32, just outside. And we have 2 sides on 31, Preston and Cardiff. Neil Harris certainly doing a very good job there. Brentford, Blackburn and Swansea on 30. Blackburn, it wasn't that long ago that we were asking questions as to whether Blackburn needed to go in a different direction from Tony Mowbray. But they are right in the playoff picture with just 2 points behind them. But it does feel like the top 2, West Brom are now 10 points clear of 3rd, Leeds 8 points. They are starting to put together a little bit of a gap. So many sides have been inconsistent. Up until the weekend, you could include Fulham in this, but Leeds and West Brom, certainly the most consistent of a very inconsistent bunch. And down near the bottom, Barnsley still rooted to the bottom on 12 points. Stoke, after another defeat, there in 23rd on 14. Wigan in 22nd on 16. Just outside the relegation zone, Huddersfield, they're without a win in their last five. They're on 18 points. And Luton and Middlesbrough, massive wins for them to push themselves slightly further away from the relegation zone. That Luton-Wigan game was massive. Had Wigan won it, as they went 1-0 up, they'd have been out of the relegation zone and pushed themselves away, and Luton would have been right in the relegation zone. In the end, obviously, it worked exactly the vice versa. Just looking at some of the fixtures coming up in this midweek, a full fixture list coming up over a Tuesday and Wednesday night. So looking at tomorrow night's fixtures, we have Bristol City against Millwall. Charlton play Huddersfield, a huge game for Lee Bowyer's side. Leeds take on Hull. Nottingham Forest play Middlesbrough. Preston take on Fulham. And Stoke are up against Luton. It's the Nathan Jones derby, but Nathan Jones is no longer either of those two clubs. And then on Wednesday night, Barnsley take on Reading. Birmingham will play QPR. Brentford are up against Cardiff, two sides that are just 1 point and one place between those two sides. So a good game. Derby take on Sheffield Wednesday. As I mentioned, Derby's away form is terrible, but their home form is very, very good. So a tough test for Gary Monk's side. Swansea take on Blackburn. Those two sides locked on the same number of points, and just one position separates those two sides. And Wigan have a rather difficult task. They've lost four and drawn one of their last five games. They're third bottom in the relegation zone. Things don't get a lot easier for them. They host the league leaders, West Brom, on Wednesday night. Obviously, we'll have more detail on those games coming up over the next couple of shows, over the next couple of days. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us reacting to your club's fortunes at the weekend, if you're a West Brom or a Leeds fan, you must be absolutely delighted with the way things are going. Consistency is key. And can you bridge a big, big gap between the chasing pack? Down near the bottom for Barnsley, Stoke, Wigan fans, you must be a bit worried. Also, Huddersfield fans, Danny Cowley got that initial bounce, but are they struggling to maintain that bounce? Get in touch with us this afternoon. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. And we're going to talk more about Bristol City and West Brom later in the hour, but up next, we'll be talking all things Charlton.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We've been looking back at the Championship action from the weekend. We're going to be talking all things Charlton now. It's a tough time for them. Two wins in their last 14 games since the middle of September. Joining us now is Lewis Catt from Charlton Live. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Lewis. As I mentioned, things aren't looking great for Charlton. A month or two ago, they were right in around the top six and things were looking really quite positive. But as I mentioned, just two wins in the last 14 games means Charlton are 17th after the 1-0 defeat to Middlesbrough at the weekend. Things are looking quite bleak at the moment for Charlton.
Yeah, they are. We've hit a real dip in form. I'd say before the weekend, we couldn't always say that the performances that we gave deserved the result. You know, we've had it a couple of times where I felt quite hard done by, where I think that we probably could have got more from the game, or at least deserved to get more from a game. But this weekend was completely different to that. We really struggled to get going on Saturday, and it was a completely out of character performance from Lee Bowyer Charlton side. You know, it's not a performance we've become used to seeing, especially out of a side managed by Bowyer. And obviously we've got the injury crisis at the moment, and I don't like to keep using it as an excuse, but it is a pretty valid one, because when you think about the amount of players that we have out of the side at the moment, especially senior players and important impact players as well, you take that out of any other club in the Championship and they're going to be struggling as well. So we've seen that when we have a fully fit side and a competent squad with the injury crisis out of the way, we've seen that we can compete at this level, and we've had some really good results this season already, and we made such a fast start to the season and made our ground up. So I think now it's a bit of a blessing in disguise, really, that we had that fast start, because it's given us a bit of a buffer towards the relegation zone. We're 7 points clear of that, which, if you'd have said that to me at the start of the season, that come Christmas time you'd be 7 points clear of relegation, I'd have bitten your hand off. But I think it's just more the circumstances in which we've tumbled down the table has been extremely disappointing.
It's as if you, Lewis, were able to read the questions I was going to ask of you, because I was going to talk about those injuries, because, as you mentioned, if you suffered an injury crisis, the number of injuries, and it's well into double figures that they've experienced this season, it'd be crippling for anyone. But At some point, is it a sustainable excuse saying all the time that, that there are these injuries and that's affecting us? Or at some point, do you have to just kind of say, it is, it's not ideal and it is hampering us, but at the end of the day, you just got to get on with it, not make excuses because no one else is going to kind of feel sympathetic for you. You've got to get results at some point.
We do, yeah. I mean, it is hard to judge it because when you look at the people that are missing at the moment through long-term injury, you know, one positive in the weekend is that we saw Lyle Taylor back, but he's our key man. He's been out for 14 weeks. You know, you take your star striker out of any side in the Championship, you're going to suffer. On top of that, we've lost influential midfielders in the shapes of Johnny Williams. Josh Cullen's out for, you know, 3 to 4 months. We've lost Aaron Ostuma over the weekend. He's in a boot, so he could be out for a couple of weeks as well. It seems to all be hitting us at the same time. And, you know, we've had to sort of get by. And some of the players that we're chucking in now to play in the Championship haven't played a league game before. You know, we've had Albie Morgan that performed for us last season in League One when called upon. But he was on loan at Ebbsfleet a couple of weeks ago, and now he's back playing Championship football. Alfie Doughty made his first team debut this season, hasn't played any competitive league football. He's only played non-league. He's been asked to step up. You know, I get that people won't sympathise because it's sort of out of your control when it comes to injuries, but there has to be something going on because there is no way that that amount of injuries is normal. It seems to be that this time of the year, we always seem to have a bit of an injury crisis, but I think some teams are sort of going on about, they've got an injury crisis of, sort of 6 or 7 players. We're looking at 14, you know, 14 players out of what is already a very thin squad due to, you know, ownership issues and lack of investment. We've had to sort of scrimp and scrape to get by and get bodies in that we can afford to. We haven't been able to back up every position, and you lose a key player in that area and you are going to struggle naturally. And we had the suspensions as well recently. It's that period of the year, isn't it, where the players that, you know, stick in a couple of like last ditch tackles are hitting their limit on bookings, and then you're missing them for a week. We've had Prattley, Gallagher and Lockyer all out of recent times. Dylan Phillips, the goalkeeper, is only a couple of bookings away from a suspension as well. It just seems to all be coming at the same time. And if the performances are there and we're not quite getting the rub of the green in terms of results, which I think has been the case 80% of this run, you can kind of let it go. But the weekend was no excuse. I mean, the weekend was a completely different Charlton Athletic to what we're used to seeing. And they'll be after a reaction very, very quickly from that.
When reading some of the comments that Charlton manager Lee Bowyer said after the game, there was one that kind of stood out, that he criticised his side's unusual, and this wasn't a trend that he sees in the side, but a lack of fight on the weekend. And I think as football fans, when you watch your club, you sometimes can understand if there's a lack of ability or a talent drain, that one team might just be better than your team. But the one thing you demand from a player, that you expect the very least, is that they give everything, that they show a determination, even if at the end of the day that the other side just plays better and they win the game. That can sometimes be understandable. That must be a little bit concerning. Granted, it is just one game, and that may not be the case in midweek this week, but that the players didn't look like they were properly up for the fight on the weekend.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think that Lee Bowyer uses that core within his team that he always expects 100%. You know, he expects players to fight for results, to fight for the badge against the odds, because we are, at the start of the season, we were the favourite to get relegated, and it's in our power to prove people wrong. And we did at the start of the season. Of course, we've been dragged into the wrong end of the table now, but we've still got that buffer. So the effort and the performances have been there. Saturday was just, I couldn't even describe it to you. It was just abysmal. And that won't happen again. I imagine that because we were so bad on Saturday, and we've got an opportunity to turn it around so quickly this week when we play Huddersfield tomorrow night, I think that Bowyer will demand that he won't see that performance again. And I hope that we can bounce back quickly, because we've got big characters like Justin Rund that are able to lift the younger boys and get the squad sort of fighting fit again. Because at the moment, you are missing big characters, and it is tough. And I know, I don't want to keep using it as an excuse, but it is hard when you're missing that many players to sort of play to your full ability. We've got some seriously talented footballers missing at the moment, and they bring a lot to our team all over the pitch. And it's making those players that have got quality that remain in the side at the moment look off the pace as well, because they haven't quite got the link up with somebody that's just come in out of nowhere to fill their position. And it's a worrying dip in form, but I'm pretty confident that we've got enough to turn it around and get out of it, because I believe Lee Bowyer is a manager that, if anyone can sort of motivate you and put a bit of fire in the belly of those players and get them to start grinding out results again, it's him. And I truly do believe that. So it's not too much of, it's not overly panic stations at the moment. The cushion is fairly comfortable, but I'm like any football fan. I want my team to win football matches, and at the moment that's not happening.
You mentioned one of the small positives, I suppose, coming out of the weekend's defeat was the fact that Lyle Taylor returned as a substitute after more than 3 months out with injury. Obviously, he was an absolutely integral part of Charlton's promotion push last season, even at the start of this season. I mean, he's still only a couple of goals behind the likes of Patrick Bamford, who's Leeds' top goal scorer this season. He scored 5 goals early doors before getting injured at the end of August. How long do you think it will take him to get back up to speed? And is it really important that Lee Bowyer, also Charlton fans, are patient with him? Because after that duration, it's not like he's out for a couple of weeks and therefore you get back into the swing of things very quickly. He's been out for over 3 months. This is surely going to take him quite a number of games before he's back to where he was last season and the beginning of this season.
100%. I think we have to keep grounded in terms of our expectations for him, because 14 weeks out of the team is a very long period of time. And, you know, that's, I think that as an injury layup for Lyle Taylor, I don't actually think he's had a layup like that before in his career. So it's going to take him a little while to get back in. You know, he's going to have to build up his match sharpness. He's probably going to be a little bit off it in those first couple of games, of course. You know, we have to accept that. We have to accept as supporters he's not going to come in and start, you know, being the Lyle Taylor that's completely match fit and 100% match sharp and he's going to get you goals and stuff, because we can't have that expectation on him straight away. We don't want him to overwork and break down again, because if we end up losing him again for a long period, then we'll be in serious trouble. So we have to be realistic with Lyle. We know he's got the ability, and we know that him as a person and a personality around the pitch and around the dressing room and around the club is an extremely important factor at our football club, because he sort of is a bit of a similar way to Lee Bowyer, but in terms of playing staff, is someone that kind of holds everybody together. He does a lot outside of the pitch for the club and different, you know, communities and different schemes and things like that. And it's important to have a character like that in your football club, because he can give everybody a lift. And even when he came on Saturday, we saw it in the early stages, as soon as he came on the pitch, that the whole team were lifted. It was brief, because we weren't having a great day or at the office at all. But if you're having a bit of a better, you know, if it's a tight 0-0 and you bring him on, then you're sort of in the game. But we never looked like getting back into it on Saturday. And I think even bringing him in, although it lifted this for, you know, sort of 15, 20 minute spell at the start of that second half, you can't rely on one person to do that. And especially somebody that's been out of, you know, effectively not been playing for 3 or 4 months, as you say. So we've got to be very patient with him. I have all the faith that he's going to be back firing fit as quick as he can, because that's what Lyle Taylor's like as a player. You know, he won't just trickle along, because that's not him. He'll want to come back. He knows he's right now. He could have come back sooner and not been at full throttle, and we would have got like a half bit Lyle Taylor that wouldn't have been the best for the side. And he's taken that sort of extended leave on that injury to make sure that he comes back and he's right, and that the football side of things are okay, rather than just the actual running side of it, because that was something that was important. And he's back in and around it now, and it's gonna lift everybody. You know, he only trained on Friday, so now he's gonna have a whole week behind him. He can sort of work with the ball on the training pitch with the side, and the games are coming thick and fast now over Christmas, so it's gonna be a really good opportunity for him to, you know, get some minutes, even if it is an impact sub at the start. Maybe you look at starting him and get 60 minutes out of him. It's good to have him as the option, because at the end of the day, we're scraping the barrel to get anybody in that side at the moment, because we just have nobody at all. So the sooner we get some bodies back as well to take that pressure off of Lyle Taylor, the better, really.
And it's a big few days coming up. We talk about the games coming thick and fast. This week is a case in point for Charlton. They play on Tuesday night at home against Huddersfield, who've kind of come off that bounce from Danny Cowley, struggling again at home to Hull on Friday night. So two games in the space of 72 hours and two massive games, considering the form that Charlton have been in and the fact that they're two home games. These are massive for Lee Bowyer's side.
massive. And it's like you say there, you almost can't write it, can you? An injury-struck squad has got three games in the space of 6 days. It's crazy scheduling. But, you know, it's an opportunity with these two games, especially now we're back at home, to sort of lift the mood a little bit. We can get a result out of Huddersfield under the lights tomorrow. I'm sure that'll raise everybody's spirits within the club. We've obviously got the takeover thing going on in the background. So, you know, it's a positive sign to be a Charlton supporter. There's no doubt about that. You know, we're doing better than all of us assumed we would do at the start of the season. I think the only reason we have such a disappointment sort of around the place at the moment is because we know how well we can do when we've got a fully fit squad. And it's just frustrating that we're being, you know, sort of hampered by injury and it's preventing us from really pushing on. But, you know, we've got to get through this busy Christmas period now with the squad that we do have. And then hopefully the takeover gets the rubber stamp in the next couple of weeks. And we can look at, you know, improving and adding to the squad in January and adding a bit more backup. So if you do lose people, you know, if you do lose a Johnny Williams or a Lyle Taylor, you've got someone that can immediately step in and fill that place. Because at the moment, in terms of strikers, if Lyle gets injured, you're relying heavily on Macaulay Bond, who's been incredible, but will end up breaking down himself if he keeps getting played week in, week out, and not getting a rest. You know, we've got that in all positions. We're sitting there, and Ozturva now, who's coming to replace Johnny Williams, he's broken down. So it's important that we get through this period at Christmas now fairly unscathed. You know, we get a couple of bodies back, pick up a couple of results sort of in the quick fire fixtures that we do have, because the table can change overnight. You know, we, like you say, you go back sort of four to six weeks ago, we're in the upper echelon of the table, and now we're down there and we're thinking it's a bit of a tragedy. But when you look at it on paper, the season overall so far has been pretty impressive from the boys. So we just got to stay grounded and you know, get behind them. I've said on our Charlton live show last night that the most important thing over these next two games is that the Valley fills up and gets behind the boys and gives them a real lift, because it's been proven so many times that 12th man is so important to a Lee Bowyer side. And we've been in a rut before, and there's, you know, I've got every confidence that we can get out of this one and have a really strong season. And then, you know, the future of the club is going to be in other people's hands, and it's an exciting time to look ahead to. So yeah, we've just got to ride out this period now, and then who knows where we'll be, you know, this time in sort of what we're looking towards the end of the season, where we're going to end up. But I think it's going to be positive.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Lewis. That was Lewis Katt from Charlton Live. Off the field, obviously, Charlton fans are buoyed by the fact that Roland Duchatelet has agreed to sell the club. On the field, just 2 wins in 14 games since mid-September. You feel like at home to Huddersfield, then home to Hull. And as Lewis mentioned there, this is the worst time for Charlton to have games coming thick and fast because of the number of injuries. Well, they are coming thick and fast. They play Saturday, Tuesday, Friday this week, so the game's coming thick and fast. But two home games in games that you would think Lee Bowyer's side should win. It's a huge couple of games. Tuesday night, then Friday night. So two home games against Huddersfield and Hull in 72 hours. Massively important for Lee Bowyer's side. Charlton fans or other Championship fans, get in touch with us this afternoon. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you call us here on the Championship Fan Show this afternoon. We're going to be talking a bit more about West Brom later in the hour. Another emphatic win for the table toppers yesterday against Swansea. But up next, we'll be talking all things Bristol City.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Bristol City now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Paul Binning, who is at the Exiled Robin on Twitter. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. A really good result for Bristol City, going to Craven Cottage, where Fulham had won their last 4 games on the trot, but the nature of the Championship meant that Fulham couldn't continue that winning run, and it was Bristol City that ended it. This must be a really impressive moment for Bristol City. It was only a week and a half ago they got battered away at West Brom. They go to Fulham, third in the table, and win. This must be a big statement for them.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was a, you know, really, really strong performance. We went there and took the game to Fulham and pushed them back. And, you know, to be honest, apart from the very hairy sort of few moments at the end, never really looked like losing it. We got a terrific record at Fulham, mind. We got that's our fifth win in a row at Fulham. We obviously seem to like playing there. The fans have a great away day down there, and it's it obviously just suits us and our style at the moment.
You mentioned a kind of some hairy moments right at the end of the game. It surrounded whether Fulham should have got a penalty. Now, the general consensus is that had there been, well, who knows if there'd been VAR, actually that's a silly comment to make because VAR could have made any decision on the planet. But the view is that on the whole, it may have been a lucky moment for the Robins. Were you of the view that in that moment, Bristol City were lucky not to concede a penalty?
Yeah, I think if you look at the angles, it looks like he's probably clipped him. What I will say, I mean, when you zoom out, the guy is actually already launching himself onto the floor when he's clipped. So, yes, he is clipped, but I think there's already a movement beforehand. As you say, VAR could look at any other decisions, and I haven't watched the whole match back, but certainly from some of the comments I've seen online, it seems like Anthony Knockhart was potentially lucky to still be on the pitch a couple of times with a couple of nasty kicks out and different things that happened. So you never know quite how, you know, any game would go if you had a VAR looking at all decisions. But yeah, certainly a heart in the mouth moment for us at and the fans at the end. And thankfully, the referee chose fit not to give anything.
Another goal for Josh Brownhill. He scored for the second successive match. He scored five now this season. Considering some of the injuries Bristol City have had up front, Benik Afobe obviously being ruled out for the season, it's important that players like Josh Brownhill, who I know that Lee Johnson has spoken really highly of this season, that they step up with goals in the absence of let's say, someone like a Mitrovic, who Bristol City were playing against, who was an out-and-out natural goal scorer.
Yeah, we haven't got that in our team. I think that's fairly clear. We've got some very honest, hard-working forwards in Dijou and Wyman. And between them and Brownhill, I think they've got about 18 goals between them now, which, you know, isn't bad as a team. As you say, we need goals from all over. People are chipping in. I think our top scorer is 6, maybe 7 goals, and yet we're second highest scorers in the league. So we're obviously doing something well throughout the team. We're creating chances. And, you know, I think we say we've got to continue working hard as a team, which we do, and getting in these positions because we haven't got that natural poacher, number 9 finisher, or the guy who's going to probably score us 25 goals in a season.
I mentioned Alexander Mitrovic's name there, Paul. Obviously, he's been in such fine form. It definitely looks like he is far too good for this level. He really should be in the Premier League. But do you take heart from the fact that up against probably the Championship's best player at this moment in time, the Bristol City came up against him and didn't allow him to score?
Yeah, and you know, he was very quiet, to be honest. I mean, the two centre-halves on Saturday, Ashley Williams and Nathan Baker, were absolutely superb. They kept the forwards in check for most of the game. Didn't really allow them much space. Ashley Williams read the ball so well. He was getting in front of Mitrovic whenever he had a chance. And as I say, until that last sort of 10, 15 minutes, we didn't really feel or seem that threatened, to be honest. And yeah, it was a great performance because you go to Fulham and you look at their forwards, the Cavallero and Knockhart and Mitrovic and Troy, you can come on and you just think, yeah, you're going to have a tough day here. And we just didn't seem to really suffer from that at all.
It's now a fifth away win of the season for Lee Johnson's side. It lifts the Robins up into fourth place in the table. Considering we're going into this busy period, it must be a pretty good position for Bristol City to be in.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's weird the things you said after West Brom, you know, a week or so ago. We were, you know, looking down the barrel of probably being closer to sort of 17th, 18th in the league rather than the top 2 or 3. Two wins in a row and you can really power yourself upwards. And we've got two home games coming up now against teams you look at in the league table and think we probably should be, you know, getting results against respective them. But as you say, it's our away form actually is going very well, and the home form is anything that needs some work on. So we've got to get on front foot against those teams, really try and take the game to them, and hopefully we can, you know, really take advantage and press home, solidify our position in the playoffs leading into Christmas.
Looking at the games then coming up, Paul, for Bristol City, you look at it, they play at home against Millwall tomorrow night, then at home again on Saturday against Blackburn. We talk about Bristol City doing okay actually away from home, but at home is where you obviously any team will pride themselves on. And look at both those games. Now, the Championship has told you that you shouldn't ever try and predict anything this season, but at home against Millwall, at home against Blackburn, you'd think this is another good opportunity for Bristol City to get another couple of wins and they can really solidify themselves in those playoff positions.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, just sort of reference, really. I think the trouble we've got is we generally, in the last couple of years, struggled against some of the more physical teams, some of the teams that maybe haven't got the stars work hard as a unit and fight as a team. And Millwall, I think, certainly fall into that category under Gary Rowett. So there's certainly no guarantees there. But what we saw against Huddersfield last weekend was probably for the first time in what the fans felt was a long time. We really took the game to them, really attacked them, and it obviously paid off in handsome style with a big win. And I think that's what the expectation the fans are going to have, certainly going into Tuesday night's game, is that we take the game to Mill early on. You know, hopefully we can really take advantage and put them on the back foot before we even get going.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Paul. That was Paul Binning, who is at the Exiled Robin on both Twitter and Facebook, talking about what was a really good result for Bristol City. As I mentioned, Fulham had won 4 straight games before that, which, other than the top two, has been very, very rare that a side would get on that sort of a run. But inevitably that had to come to an end, and Bristol City made... The view is, yes, they got lucky at the end there, that it probably should have been a penalty for Fulham. But Bristol City were 2-0 up with 5 minutes to go. So they certainly dealt with Mitrovic pretty well, and considering how good he's been this season, that's a pretty good effort by Bristol City. Obviously, they've had to deal with injuries. We were talking about Charlton, the number of injuries. Bristol City not to necessarily the extent of Charlton, but they've had to deal with injuries, and they're going to have players that step up. Players like Josh Brown, who I said had scored his 5th goal of the season on Saturday. Famara Diedhiu as well. He scored what was a tap-in, but it was a really good team move for Bristol City's 2nd goal on the weekend. So a good result for Bristol City. It takes them up to 4th place in the table. And with home games coming up over the next few days against Millwall and Blackburn in midweek and on the weekend, they're looking at a decent position. They're level on points with Fulham, who obviously they beat on the weekend, who are in 3rd. They are 8 points off Leeds, 10 points off the top. I think West Brom are all but kind of sealed in that top spot. Obviously, nothing's ever guaranteed, but I think we can be fairly sure that they will get one of those top 2 spots with the other team there, Leeds. Who knows which way that could go? Leeds, usually you'd expect them to do what they usually do, which is fall apart, but maybe this could be the season. But I don't think Leeds fans will be counting their chickens quite yet. Looking around the other bits in the Championship, Cardiff on a really good run. There was so much negativity, I remember, when Neil Harris's appointment was announced, that the Cardiff fans were saying this is just another, not that they didn't like Neil Warnock, but it was just another negative manager that wasn't going to play a great brand of football. Well, Cardiff are now 8th on 31 points, just 1 point off the top 6, doing brilliant stuff at the moment. Blackburn are one of the informed sides. They are 4 wins on the trot, other than the top 2, who've shown great consistency so far this season. Blackburn at the moment are the informed side outside of the top 2. A huge result for Luton after being beaten 7-0 by Brentford just 7 days before. They turned the fortunes around against Wigan. They were 1-0 down, but went on to win the game 2-1. Also, Jarrod Bowen. I mean, we always seem to talk about him on this show, but he certainly deserves it. 14 league goals in 20 games for the 22-year-old so far. He had a great season last season with Hull. Considering, I'm not trying to be too disrespectful to Hull fans here, but considering how average a side Hull are, to be producing those numbers, playing for a side like Hull, I still can't get my head around why people in the summer didn't come in for him. We've spoken to Jonty Carman from the Hull Daily Mail and the Hull Daily Live, and I've asked him quite a few times about it, and he said there was interest, but no one firmed up their interest. No one put any bids on the table. I think that will change in January, because there have to be Premier League clubs that look at Jarrod Bowen. He's 22, had a good season last season, 14 league goals in 20 games. We're basically talking Mitrovic levels. Jarrod Bowen isn't an out-and-out centre-forward and is playing for a worse team that isn't as creative. Fulham are a creative side that score goals. They can't really defend, and they're a side that are 3rd in the table. Hull are mid-table that don't have an abundance of attacking talent. So for Jarrod Bowen to be producing, I may sound like I'm part of the Jarrod Bowen fan club, but he really is a fantastic player. And in January, surely some of those teams in the Premier League will be looking at him. And also a big day for QPR. It was 239 days since the last time that QPR had kept a clean sheet, but they did keep one on the weekend. They won 2-0 against Preston North End, so they can celebrate a clean sheet for the first time in 239 days. Quite a long wait for a clean sheet. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, you can call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, make sure you do call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number if you want to get in touch with us on this Monday afternoon. For West Brom, it was another convincing victory, 5-1 at home against Swansea. The star of the show was definitely Mateus Pereira, who not only scored one, but he assisted the other four as they battered Swansea City by 5-1 at the Hawthorns. So a pretty convincing result for Slaven Bilic's side, who are looking very, very good for an automatic promotion spot. It is only 20 games into the season, but they looked destined to come back up into the Premier League. Earlier on the Breakfast Show with Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's, they were joined by Joe Chapman, West Brom reporter for the Birmingham Mail, and they were talking about that game and a special performance by Mateus Pereira.
They seem to reach different levels week on week at the moment. They've put six wins together on the spin. They match week in, week out what Leeds United are doing, who are right behind them. It's funny, actually, in this promotion race, they seem to almost be pushing each other week on week with the results that they're managing. But the performance was the thing that really stood out here for me against Swansea, who were unbeaten on the road before they came to the Hawthorns on Sunday, and they were sent packing very, very quickly. Yeah. And the quality of the goals they're scoring, they've probably got the best player in the Championship, in my opinion, in Mateus Pereira, and they fully deserve to be where they are in the league.
Do you know, that was going to be my next question. I've got to ask you about Pereira, because, I mean, three assists, a goal as well. Obviously, at the weekend as well, the fact that Bristol City beat Fulham did West Brom a bit of a favour just to secure that, I'd say, that 10-point gap now between them and third place. But talk to me about Pereira, because he is Premier League.
I've certainly am of that belief as well. He was in Germany last season on loan from Sporting Lisbon. He was in a team that got relegated, actually, from the Bundesliga, but by all accounts, he was a player that stood out. Slaven Bilic has got a lot of very good contacts in Germany, and one of them alerted him to Pereira last season and said, you need to get this guy if you can in your next job. Sporting Lisbon, for whatever reason, have not found a place for him in their team. And it was a deal that ran, really, from the end of June, start of July, all the way through to deadline day, when they finally got the deal over the line. They're in a very, very strong position in terms of his future. They've got a permanent deal basically wrapped up. He's agreed personal terms. So it's a case of just kind of, you know, giving the green light and getting that one over the line whenever they want. So it's all very, very rosy on that front. But Pereira as a player is absolutely spectacular. The way he carries the ball, his passing, the goals he scores, the assists, as you've mentioned, his league-high assist return this season. It ticks all those boxes. But what's actually really stood out for me as well is his defensive work. He's not scared to track back, get his foot in, and you know, just generally get his body behind the ball. He is the all-round package.
And the other two I just want to touch on, just in front of that back four, Sawyers and Livermore in particular. They work well, don't they?
They do. They've really complemented each other so well this season. Romain Sawyers, it was a big deal for him coming home. He's a boyhood West Brom fan. He was released 6 years ago when they were in the Premier League and they couldn't get him in their team. And he's come back, obviously, from Brentford after a number of very good years there at the Championship level. Jake Livermore's an interesting one as well, because he's really taken on the captain's armband this season in Chris Brunt's absence with gusto. He's slimmed down. He's admitted it himself. He's worked so hard to kind of shift some of the bulk that he had, that he was carrying last season. And he looks a different player as well. And the pair of them are as important as Pereira and Grady Dean Garner as well.
And got to touch on the manager, Slaven Bilic, doing an incredible job so far. West Brom fans must be absolutely loving what he's doing.
He's brilliant. He's a breath of fresh air. He's something that the club desperately needed, I've got to say. You know, I've got a lot of time for Darren Moore and Jimmy Shan as well, who obviously took over as caretaker at the back end of last season. But if you go back to Alan Pardew, to Tony Pulis, to Alan Irvine, this is the fresh air that I think the club desperately needed. You know, he's so charismatic. He's a joy for the local press to kind of deal with on a weekly basis. And more importantly than that, the players absolutely love playing under him. It's clear for all to see that they're responding to everything he is asking of them. And it just seems like a perfect fit at the moment.
That was Joe Chapman from the Birmingham Mail talking about yet another impressive display and yet another win for West Brom, who are 2 points clear of Leeds at the top, but 10 points clear of third place Fulham. From the outset of the season, it looked like West Brom were in a good position to get promoted, automatically promoted, and they certainly looked destined to do that. Goals yesterday from Semi Ajayi, Mateus Pereira, Hal Robson-Kanu, Matt Phillips and Kyle Edwards gave Slaven Bilic's side their sixth straight victory as they stretched their undefeated run to 10 games. And Mateus Pereira certainly was the man to steal the headlines. He wasn't content with scoring once. He then went and assisted the other four goals. He's on loan from Sporting, as I said, had a hand in all five goals. And actually, West Brom have agreed a £9 million deal to sign the Brazilian permanently. Slaven Bilic was very complimentary, comparing him to the likes of Luka Modric, Manuel Lanzini, Dimitri Payet were some of the players that he compared him to. But there is no doubt how good he is. We've spoken to a few West Brom guests over the last couple of weeks and wondered, is he ready now? Obviously, we don't know until these players play in the Premier League whether they are good enough. But the feeling is he is most certainly good enough already to be playing. And actually, sometimes for those types of players, playing in the Premier League where it's slightly less physical than the Championship can actually benefit these types of players. And he is certainly a player on absolute fire. And I mentioned how West Brom have made that move permanent for £9 million. I would not be surprised if there are Premier League clubs looking at him and looking to potentially play way more than that to make him their player in the summer. So another impressive result for West Brom at home against Swansea City.
This is Love Sport.